My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, we're quickly coming to the end. The end of the world as we know it. These days are filled with false hopes, false promises from false saviors. The days are filled with terror and hatred. Days characterized with burnings like blazing fiery furnace. No, I'm not speaking of the presidential election or the reaction of the protesters against our newly elected president. Although in some respects, the description aptly fits, doesn't it? No, I'm speaking of the end of the church year. When our thoughts turn to the end of all things and the destruction of the heavens and the earth as we know it. The last day is described vividly by Malachi as a day when the arrogant and evildoers will be reduced to stubble, he says. And Jesus tells of that day when the heavens will be shaken, the seas roar, the sun, the moon, and the stars will cry out in signs of distress. The nations will be in upheaval, and people will literally faint with fear and dread over what is coming. Typhoons, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis, wildfires, these are just a mere foreshadowing of what's coming at the end. And we simply cannot imagine it. It's really too much to comprehend. I mean, the destruction left by Hurricane Matthew is bad enough, but that's only a fraction of the global destruction foretold by our Lord. Worldwide destruction, along with cosmic devastation, is really way too much for our comprehension and way beyond our grasp, if we're honest. But just because we can't comprehend it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. The people in Jesus' day, for example, thought Jerusalem was indestructible. After all, it was God's city, the place of God's temple, God's footstool from which he ruled over the earth. How could he let his city or his temple be destroyed? Yet Jesus predicted that within his own generation it would happen. He even warned his disciples what to do when they saw the invading army surrounding the city. And the Jewish war that ended in 70 AD was precisely the fulfillment of that prophecy by Jesus. And yet it spared the church, for they knew to flee instead of fight. So Jesus was preparing his disciples for the hard times ahead and for the things that no one would have thought possibly or possibly conceivable. It's important to understand that when Jesus spoke these words, the temple in Jerusalem had been undergoing a massive rebuilding project started by Herod some 46 years prior. It was a massive project, including 10,000 laborers that Josephus records for us. Enormous stones had to be quarried and moved, and all sorts of craftsmen and artisans were employed to make the temple something grand and glorious that all who saw it marveled at its beauty. So for Jesus to say to his disciples at that time that not one stone will be left upon another is so radical as this, if to say someone to come to you and say 40 years from now, the United States will no longer exist as a nation. Or the city of Los Angeles will be wiped from the map. It's simply that inconceivable. If all this talk about the end times, the end days, leaves you a little nervous and uneasy, it should. For these times of the end will be as terrifying for Christians as for unbelievers, but for believers, even so more. For Jesus warned that his disciples that they would be persecuted, arrested, hauled before religious and civil courts. They would be imprisoned and brought before kings and governors to give a defense. And yet he assured them that they didn't have to worry about what they would say, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. That's a promise that our Lord gives to his church. But notice that the Lord doesn't spare them from the persecution and the testing, but he promises instead to see them through it, to supply them with words and wisdom to be his witnesses. My friends, there is nowhere in Scripture that promises that you and I will be spared the tribulations at the end days. There is no concept whatsoever of a rapture in which all true believers are taken up before the tribulation of the end comes. Won't find it. Christians don't get a free pass or an exemption from the distress of these last days. Jesus tells his disciples that they will be betrayed by friends and family, that they will be hated for his namesake. I mean, so often we worry and are anxious about how Christianity seems to be targeted in the public square. Why should we worry, really? And why should we especially be surprised? For Jesus himself said it would be this way. I think rather we should be worried when Christianity becomes the popular and the trendy religion of the day. In fact, the history of the church bears this out. It's precisely when Christianity is the popular religion and the church is the stylish place to be that it all starts to go very, very wrong. The Christian faith has at its center a cross. Jesus himself crucified. Suffering and hardship and loss go hand in hand with the cross of Jesus. We are baptized under the sign of the cross. We are forgiven under the sign of the cross. We are fed his body and blood under the sign of the cross. We arise. We go to sleep and do everything in between under the sign of the cross. Christianity isn't so much a way of life as it is a way of death, a daily picking up of your cross. It is to die with Jesus in order to be raised with him. It's to live as dead to sin and self, but alive to God in Christ. Jesus warned his followers, some of you, they will even put to death. And it's been the story of the church ever since, for it's happening today, isn't it? People killed, slaughtered, martyred for being Christian. And yet, notice the very next sentence that our Lord gives. But not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your life. You're going to die because of me, in other words, Jesus is saying. You're going to be martyred. They'll crucify you. They'll cut off your head. They'll burn you alive at the stake. But not a hair of your head will perish. My friends, death is not the worst thing that can happen to you or to me. Though you die, even a martyr's death, not a hair of your head will perish. By the endurance of faith, you will gain your lives. That's the hidden comfort in these last days of the church year and the end of the world as we know it. My friends, the end is simply the beginning. For those who fear the name of the Lord, Malachi writes, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. The destruction of the old brings revelation of the new. The Lamb who is seated on the throne says, "Behold, I am making all things new." That reminds me of a building. When you destroy a building and want to rebuild it, what do? Well, you typically put up a fence, erect the scaffolding, roll out the drop cloths, and it hides the work that starts to be that begins over the next few days or weeks or months. And when the work is done and the building is complete, what happens? You tear down the scaffolding, throw down the fence, you roll up the drop cloths to see what's been going on. And so it is like with the destruction at the end. It's a destruction of the things that are temporal, so that the things eternal might be revealed. And so Jerusalem is precisely like that. Think about it. It had a purpose in God's plan of salvation. It was the place of Israel's temple, the city, where the dwelling place of God was with man until the coming of the Christ, God's Messiah, who took on flesh and blood and dwelt among us. And then the temple was no longer needed. Not only was the curtain torn in two from top to bottom at the moment Jesus died, but 40 years later, not one stone of the temple was left standing. And while you can go there today to a wall and weep, there's no point in weeping over a building that is no longer needed. And the same is true for the things of our age. Nations, institutions, structures, all the things we build, everything in this life is temporal, like a scaffolding of history under which God is making all things new in His Son. So when the nations are in turmoil and the whole creation seems to be groaning in earthquakes and floods and famines and disasters, when even the steady sun, moon, and stars are shaken, those are simply the tearing down of a temporary structure to reveal the permanent, eternal kingdom of God. And what the Bible calls the heavenly Jerusalem, the city will come down with new heavens and the new earth. And it's like that for you and I as well. The saint is hidden in the sinner, and the sinner must die in order for the saint to be revealed. The scaffolding of the old flesh must be torn down in order for the new man in Christ to be revealed in the resurrection of the body. God doesn't kill for no good reason. He kills in order to make alive. He brings down in order to raise up. He tears down what is temporal in order to reveal what is eternal. Whether it's the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, or the end of the world on the last day, or the day that you breathe your last breath, whenever that is, that's the work of God using death to destroy death, tearing down the temporal, the sinful, the unholy scaffolding of this life to reveal the pure and holy of eternal life that is yours already in Christ. The Apostle Paul himself considered himself dead already when he wrote to those believers in Galatia, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So my friends, when you see the signs of the end, when you experience the groanings of the old creation and labor pains, and when it seems like this whole world is going to hell in a handbasket, and the church appears weak and persecuted, then straighten up and raise your head, for your redemption is drawing near. Watch for the Son of Righteousness to rise as the world goes dark, for he comes with healing in his wings. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. Whoever believes in me lives even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The world is simply God's way of saying, get that old broken down temporal kingdom out of the way. Take down the fence, remove the scaffolding, roll up the drop cloths, for your redemption is here. Your Jesus is here, and all things have become new, and the sight is glorious. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let us